Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we will sing together and have a morning of worship together. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the freedom we enjoy in America. A freedom, Heavenly Father, that is paid for, founded by men and women who have given their lives on battlefields that we can worship this morning. We value this freedom. We value the use of this freedom to worship you freely and openly with others. And therefore, Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand and start. We're going to start with song number one. If we do well, we may go to number two. No. But let's do Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's stand and sing together. Battle of cancer, and it looks like we're in a kind of a closing month. So, Jeff, why don't you come and give us a report?
You know, Dad's been in the he's been in this rehab center for the last week and a half. Really, each day his mental and physical health continues to go down. They're not really able to do any rehab with him. So, we're waiting to hear back the results from the oncologist. We got that Wednesday around midday, and they said that the cancer had started to spread again. And because of his physical condition, there's really nothing they can do. So my mom asked the question she's been dreading to ask, you know, how long? And he said maybe 4 weeks. So we met with a hospice agency on Thursday. So the plan right now is they're going to bring some stuff out of the house today, so he gets transferred to the house tomorrow. So, you know, maybe 3 weeks. It's hard to say because of his physical condition. It's kind of just deteriorated to the point where he can't really do anything. You know, it's difficult for him to sit up. We actually have to help him sit up. Mentally, it's been a challenge. I will throw a little humor in there. He does throw some funny things out. He asked my brother today if he could borrow $10. He promised to pay him back, and Jay said, "Why do you need $10? He said, "So we can get out of here."
Oh, if it was just $10, I'd give it to him. Oh, people, he needs our prayer. But Anel needs our prayer. Anel needs your prayer every day. And I think we can speak kind of freely and openly. For Jim, it's a promotion out of this body. He's going to be face-to-face with the Lord. I envy him, jealous. But Anel's got the battle. So please be in prayer for Anel. Please be in prayer for the family. Jeff and Jay and their wives and children, grandchildren. Please be in prayer. And this time, if you've ever gone through anything like this, you know what to pray and how to pray it. It's a difficult time. And it's something that I guess we all have to go through. And generally speaking, the parents die before the children. Not always. So, let's just be in prayer for the family. Okay, any other prayer requests that we need to be aware of at this time? Yes?
My buddy Dennis Sorrell went in for knee surgery on Thursday. But he's also got a cancer problem. So, after that, after chemo and all that kind of stuff.
What would you have us pray?
That he makes a recovery on everything. Okay. He's a good guy, real sweetheart.
Okay. All right, any other prayer requests? Okay, yes.
For my mom, she fell this past week. She didn't break anything, thank goodness, but she is bruised a little bit. And needs to get prayer for her confidence to come back, as in her own words, because she's turned herself into a shut-in for the last couple of days. But I think she'll make a recovery, but would like some prayer support. Her name is Rebecca.
She's very fortunate, nothing broke and all that, because that's generally, you know, happens a lot of times. So, yeah, we'll be in prayer. Very good. Yes, sir.
So, praise report for Lori's dad. He had a hip replacement last week, Monday. Yeah. And he's doing great. So, his, you know, persistent self, he's probably already trying to run 4 or 5 miles. He is doing his rehab, his exercises, and things. I think he's, there were several months, many months, that he's been in a lot of pain, and I think that pain has gone away.
Wow,
so out of the surgery, you know, recovery part, that he's doing really well. So,
thank God, doctor's good. Yeah. Very good. Yes, ma'am.
I've got 3 things, and it's all about techno stuff, so bear with me for a second. But first off, please pray about the speaker on the ceiling. They're old and they're not working very well. Sometimes they do compete with the ceiling microphone and Herman's microphone. So I need to do something to replace it and put the speakers down on the floor. The complication about it is because we also have a speaker in the piano. That too much technology could be bad. So just pray for wisdom for Brian and me that when we actually go shop and talk to Rich, Rick about it, you know, that we can actually get the right thing. Rick has been trying to do the research on and off whenever he has time, you know, so it's been tough for us, but we hope we can make it and get the right thing. Money is not the issue right now. We do have the reserve fund for it. Second,
don't say that.
Well, yeah, we have reserve in your pocket, right? So, second is the when we moved the server, the old server service company provided us with a very good mail distribution list feature that the new company does not provide. And because of that, we've been struggling trying to have the automatic subscribe and unsubscribe feature to make it work, and we want to make sure that, and please don't get offended, but God has put something funny in our life. I asked for volunteers to be at least less than 70 years old, and God gave us kid who just turned 70. Ever, so he kept his promise, but so I
do. She's saying if we over 70, we can't do it.
It's not so much about that you guys don't want to, but I'm concerned about the new generation. If we don't have anybody picking up the tab, not only we don't have the backup, but we can't rely on all of us. And I'm getting older every year. Brian getting older. You know, that something like the case of Jim is not going to happen in the future. We can't be complacent. So I'm willing to say.
I feel sorry for everybody else.
Yeah. So with that in mind, please pray for us. If there's going to be any younger generation who's willing to be trained or share the knowledge, I'm not saying that we are pro, but at least we've learned, we've seen around the corner. So if you can pray for volunteers, the younger generation coming along, yeah, we can make time to train. And the last but not least is that, because of that new technology, the mailing list that we actually could not quite get it to work, it also spilled into another thing that I thought about, initiative that I wanted to do, that from time to time we have people literally calling from abroad, leaving a message on our church phone, asking for prayer. So we can actually do something on the website to actually put the prayer form on, but I need to make sure that it's easy enough for all the existing volunteers to actually manage. So please pray for me in particular in this case to put in the right kind of technology.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
We need volunteers to help take care of when kid be here or something, so we've got to take that into consideration. Any other prayer requests? Martha, how's your mother?
She's home now. They asked her to go home.
Yes.
You'll be in prayer for Brian and his crew. They're leaving for the next week to go work multiple hours in Midland, Odessa, to try and catch up on some work that we have there. Just being away from home again. So, and then Mackenzie, as she's traveling, she's having the time of her life, but she's traveling also and then coming back on Saturday. So.
Prayer for travel.
Yeah.
Travel safety. Oh, absolutely. Off the cuff. Chris, how was camp? How did it go?
I thought it was good. Fantastic. I get us others in the room to say
okay.
For the bus changes we went through to get to where we are. For this year I thought it was phenomenal. And I thought the teaching was pertinent. It was on point and it was direct. And I thought from my perspective I actually asked the campers and the staff, but I thought it was fantastic.
Do you think the young people heard the teaching?
I would ask the young people. Yes.
Good.
That's a good answer.
Okay.
Tell you that I know that they did. They multiple campers have responded back and said certain things that were taught were very impactful to them. They wanted to know if they could receive some of the information, further information on what was taught. It was the topic this time really hit home with a lot of people.
Very good. All right, that's what I like. You know that it hit home with them. Very good. Couple of things I want to talk about. Well, let's do the offering and then I'll do this. Well, let's talk about this. First of all, we're celebrating landing on the moon. I think that most of you know that Ed Aldrin had communion on the moon. And that's most significant. When he landed on the moon, he took communion. How many of you know who Charlie Duke is? Charles Duke, I didn't either, was one of the astronauts that walked on the moon. And he thought, I heard his testimony, he thought, that's it, I've arrived. I'm, you know, and then he came back. Now what do I do? What goes on now? And he and his wife, by testimony, weren't done all that well. And she had reached a point, according to him, said, "I'm ready to die. I just take my life and let it go." And in the midst of all of this, Charlie Duke found the Lord. Somebody told him about Jesus Christ. He went to a Bible study and was just overwhelmed with how important Jesus Christ can be. So both he and his wife have believed in Christ and have been walking with Christ. And he, I like one of his quotes, "It took millions of dollars to walk on the mountain. To walk with Jesus is free." And he just has a tremendous testimony about all the adventure, the excitement, and the achievement of walking on the moon doesn't even compare with finding Christ in his life and making Christ his life. And so it was just really superb a testimony. If you get a chance, maybe see it somewhere to tune into it. Yes.
Thing, he said that he was a Sunday Christian until he became and had a relationship that's when he really just felt so, what is the word he said? Just complete.
Yep.
With his relationship.
Great. Mm-hmm. Really super. I've said this in here where John Hanson and I thought we were the first ones to really teach about spiritual death. But in 1393, that's before Martin Luther, Martin of Mayence, M-A-Y-E-N-C-E, is burned as a heretic at Cologne, Germany, C-O-L-O-G-N-E, because he belonged to a group called Friends of God. He refused to observe the days and hours of prayer and worship commanded by the church. He regarded all Christians as priests, universal priesthood, maintained that the flesh outward works had no merit before God. Think about what the Catholic Church was teaching. And he's saying it has no merit before God. And then he preached that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered more in bearing the judgment of God than enduring the pain of the cross. And that is what he's talking about, is spiritual death.
Yes, Strauss, yeah.
Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapters 2 and 3 deal with the seven churches in Asia Minor. Seven different messages. Like you look at verse 8, Church of Smyrna. "And to the angel, the messenger of the Church of Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, Jesus Christ, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, and you are rich, and blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer." Now think about this. He's just talked about to them that I know your tribulation. And then he says, don't worry about what you're about to suffer. Whoa, 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 what's this about? What about what we're in? No, what you're about to suffer. "Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, spiritual ears, we're learning in Ezekiel, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Now I want to share with you some facts. Every month, 2019, every month, 345 Christians are killed because of their faith. 105 churches and Christian buildings are burned or attacked. 219, every month, 219 Christians are detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. 1 in 9 Christians, 1 in 9 over the whole world, experience high levels of persecution worldwide. In 2019, 4,136 Christians were killed for their faith-related reasons. On the average, that's 11 Christians killed every day because of their faith. 1,266 churches or Christian buildings were attacked. And it's not over yet, 2019. 2,625 Christians were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. 245 million Christians experience high levels of persecution in the countries of the world. 1 in 9 Christians experience high levels of persecution. North Korea is ranked number 1 for the 18th consecutive year as the most dangerous country for Christians. Islamic oppression fuels Christian persecution in 8 of the top 10 countries. Christians remain one of the most persecuted religious groups in the world. While Christian persecution takes many forms, it is defined as any hostility experienced as a result of identification with Christ. Christian torture remains an issue for believers throughout the world, including the risk of imprisonment, loss of home, assets, physical torture, rape, and even death as a result of their faith. Trends show that countries in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East are intensifying persecutions against Christians. And perhaps the most influential or the most vulnerable are Christian women, who often face double persecution to faith and gender. Christ said, people, the world hates me. They're going to hate you. I think these things are happening more and more in the world, and it's coming to this continent. It's already in the south part of this continent. I think it's coming to the northern part. You've got to make up your mind. How important is Christ to you? How important is he? Are you ready to suffer if you had to? Because of Christ? Or we just let it slide so you get back? We're under a lot of trouble in the world today. And when Corinthians says when one Christian suffers, the whole body suffers. The whole body suffers around the world and what's going on. Spring Valley Bible Church is small, as you know. We have an unbelievable opportunity of the internet getting the message out to the world, missionaries, young people. We have a wonderful opportunity. These things require money. With that in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Throughout the history of the church, Christians have been persecuted. 64 AD, Nero blamed Christians for the burning of Rome, and he blamed Jews, and they were persecuted. Our country, Heavenly Father, was a unique nation in history. allowing people freedom of faith. Freedom to believe whatever they believe. This is under attack. It was a miracle of history that our forefathers wrote such a constitution and declaration. It's 300 years it's under siege. Father, we pray that you will continue to use Green Valley Bible Church in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the spreading of the Word of God. You will continue to use this assembly in any way that you see fit. And we pray now, Father, you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Doesn't understand that we're getting close to the rapture. To me, it's just divorce of history. It is so interesting that China has decided that 2050 they will rule the world. They're doing it militarily, economically. Russia wants to rule the world militarily, economically. Islam wants to rule the world, and they're doing it differently. They're going into countries to take over the countries from within. They're going in and taking public office, like Omar in our Senate and our Congress, and mayors and governors and prime ministers and things like that. So we have three powers working under Satan's banner to overtake the world. People, we've got to make our stand for Christ. Not in combating these, but in presenting Christ to the world. Letting people we know about Christ. You never know who's ready for the gospel that you come across in life. In a grocery store, work, social life, a bar, wherever you are. You never know who's ready to hear the truth of the gospel. We've got to be ready to give it. We've got to be ready to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, we're ready this morning. Does anyone not have the handout, the roster of heroes through history? Does anyone not have a copy? Everyone have a copy? Good. All right. That was fun. All right. So, we're going to start this morning, Colossians chapter 4. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting the teacher. The teacher is God, the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the church roster has been going on since Acts chapter 2. Headed at that time by Peter and John and a multitude of believers. There have been people, men and women and children, old, throughout history, who decided they're going to live their life for Christ. He is their purpose for being here. I pray, Father, that everyone in this assembly desire to be on this list, this roster, of those who are faithful to Jesus Christ. pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what do you think is the greatest Christian characteristic, virtue, for the Christian life? To God, it's faithfulness. That's it. Good. We got it on. I can hear it now. Good. To God, it's faithfulness. Some emphasize service. And service is a great characteristic. To others, it's knowledge of doctrine. The more you know, the greater you are. While to others, it's emotionalism. The greatest Christian is the one who has the most charismatic experiences. And there are churches that are based on one of these emphases. And so people gravitate to churches that emphasize what they do best. I have a nurse complex, so I like to serve. I'm brave. I want to study and learn. I'm more emotional. And I like to emote. Have a Holy Spirit. Give me second blessings. So we have different areas. And that's what a lot of churches are. And what a lot of people do, they make what I call horizontal moves. Oh, I found it now. Boy, this is the real answer. Let's say they were emotional and they go to a church where it's doctrine. Oh man, I have to, it's the word. Then you have people that have grown in the doctrine and they go over to service. Well, you gotta have doctrine, but you ain't gotta serve. I love to serve the Lord. So they make horizontal movement and they think they've had spiritual experience. It's vertical. Moving up into the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. That's the great issue. See? To God, what is the issue is faithfulness. Remember, in Colossians where we are in history, we're in the first century of the church, beginning of a totally new dispensation. If you don't like the word dispensation, then something simple, like a new order, a new government, a new system, a new arrangement. For example, from Adam to Abraham, the spiritual responsibility was of the father of the family. Then Abraham to Jesus Christ, we have specialized priesthood and system of worship. Then we must admit, whether you call it dispensation or systems or arrangements, we must all admit that things changed in Acts chapter 2. With the ascension of Christ and the establishment of the church. So we're in the first century, therefore an important time for the development of a new dispensation. And we will see some of the most important characteristics God is looking for throughout all the church age. Different personalities and callings, but the common greatness we're going to see is faithfulness. And before I go any further, if you're having any trouble with that, if you're a married person or thinking of getting married, what more do you really want from a husband and wife than to be faithful to you in that marriage? Think about it. Colossians 4:7, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, my beloved brother, faithful servant, fellow bond servant of the Lord, will bring you information. As to all my affairs, literally, all things related to me. Each of our lives is made up of things that happen. Not just materialistic things, but experiences, circumstances, encounters, difficulties, joys, sadness, disappointments, good things. Now, if you care about somebody, you want to know. Now, you know, we all have the joke. We don't like to ask some people how they're doing because they'll tell us. But we like to start, how you doing? Well, I'm doing fine. That's what we are. I'm doing fine. Or not so good. Okay, let's move on now. Well, let me tell you what happened this morning at 8 o'clock. And, I shouldn't have asked that question. But when we care about somebody, we want to know. And if we really care, we want to know if something happened at 8 o'clock. We really do want to know. See? And so Christians should want to know about each other. They want to know about Paul. They care about Paul. So this is what's going on. Next, we have Tychicus. It's a new name for us. We are now being introduced to a truly great man of history. The kind of man the church is going to be built on. Now, I'm going to start off with a profile of Tychicus. First, let's look at his name. It is an unusual name for an important person, as we have here. Let me just quickly add, I don't recommend you name your children Tychicus. It's not going to be a good name for them to have to go through life. But, nevertheless, his name means fortunate, faithful. He may have been brought up in a family who believed strongly in fate or chance. But he was converted to Christian faith. And this belief would take a strong control over his life. He no longer believed in fate, but in God's sovereign design. As great as this man will be through church history, I do not recommend you name your children, your sons, Tychicus. You can call him that if you want, but I wouldn't name him that. Secondly, we do not know how this man heard the gospel. But he is the first mentioned with Paul on Paul's third missionary journey. When Paul traveled from Greece through Macedonia and was accompanied by a group of seven men. Acts 20, 4 through 5. 3. When Paul went erroneously to Jerusalem, Tychicus did not go with him. Scripture does not say if he disapproved, but simply that he did not accompany him. 4. He rejoins Paul during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. This is our passage, Romans 4, 7 and 8. Compare with Ephesians 6, 21, 22. I am very strongly leaning toward Ephesians next, for when we finish Colossians. I started with Galatians, and to me that's one of the most important books, but I remember in my own Christian life, Ephesians was one of the first books that made a really the impact of my spiritual Christian life. It's just a powerful book. So that may be where we're headed next, and we'll just have to see. Paul sent Tychicus to the Ephesians, most probably while carrying Paul's famous letter to them, to the Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, so that they might learn about Paul's circumstances. It is likely that Tychicus carried Paul's letter to the Colossians at the same time, since Paul sent him to them as well, and for the same reason. And I gave you the source of studying and getting that down. 5. Yo.
So, is this guy a Roman citizen, or is he a Jew?
Aha! Wonderful! He is a Roman citizen. And in the next verse in Colossians, he is going to travel with a Roman slave. You're going to have a free man and a slave traveling together. We're going to have a lot of fun in the next verse. But he is a Roman citizen. Okay, 5. This next point is important in learning about Tychicus. There was trouble on the island of Crete. Crete was filled with troubled people. Generally, people on Crete were there because of trouble somewhere else, like in Greece or Egypt. Crete gave birth to the likes of the Spartans and the Philistines. Anyway, when there was trouble on Crete, Paul sent none other than Tychicus to help Titus handle and straighten out the people. Titus 3:12. Titus is a super guy. He's a Gentile. And just strong. Just a strong young believer. 6. During Paul's second imprisonment in Rome, he sent Tychicus to Ephesus, 2 Timothy 4:12. He was to take over the Ephesian church to relieve Timothy so that Timothy could join Paul in Rome while Paul was dying. Now, Colossians 4:7. The things pertaining to me, Tychicus will tell you. They are hungry to learn about Paul. He was loved by these people that he ministered to. They knew he was always in trouble. Paul was just a troublemaker. Always in trouble. He would go in somewhere, start preaching the gospel, and he'd upset somebody. He'd upset the idol makers. He'd upset the Jews. He'd upset the Gentiles. Always upsetting somebody. So he was always in trouble, and they were always in prayer for him. So here we have two characteristics of this Tychicus. First, he is called beloved brother. This is not some sweetness and light message. Brother means he's a believer in Jesus Christ. Beloved. Let's take a look at beloved. One, I'm going to explain this to you in two words without in any way one word taking away from the other. Both are different. Both are highly sought after. Beloved and esteemed defines the word beloved. Beloved is a term of endearment. Matthew 3:17, and behold, a voice out of heaven said, from God the Father, this is my beloved Son, Jesus Christ, at his baptism. Sign that he was going to fulfill the plan of God and go to the cross. In whom I am well pleased. So God the Father called his own Son beloved. Three, God loves all believers as his beloved. Romans 1:7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, call as saints. That is, everyone who has believed in Jesus Christ as his Son, as their Savior. People, the Roman Church says this person is a saint. And this person is a saint. We're all saints. Every one of you are a saint. So don't fall for that stuff. Every one of you are precious and a saint in the eyes of God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's take a look at the saying, I love you. And Matt says this to his closest friend. And then that same day, tells his wife he loves her. There's a difference. A woman tells her child she loves him or her, then tells her husband, I love you. There's a big difference. God loves all unbelievers. God loves every born-again believer. There's a difference. In John 14:23, if anyone, any believer, loves Jesus Christ, God the Father will love that believer. I thought he loved everybody. It's a difference. And I think every one of us understand this principle. Every one of us have told our children, our husband, our wife, so I love you, I love you, I love you. It's a difference. Big difference. God loves every believer. But there's a difference between those who love his Son and God's loving them. God loves the believer who is wasting his or her life on earth with no spiritual growth. God loves the believer who is increasing in the knowledge of God, growing in the knowledge of Christ by the Holy Spirit. But there's a difference. It's a big difference, people. Or, this word also includes the concept of admiration or esteem. First, this is true of God the Father for his Son. God has the highest esteem for his Son and what his Son is doing, going to the cross. Likewise, believers should esteem for other believers who serve the Lord. For example, I have the highest esteem for Jim Langston, as well as others in this assembly. But I love all of you that you care about the Word of God. Five, Tychicus was loved by everyone who knew him in the body of Christ. This means everyone held him in the highest regards and respect. It was for this reason that Paul was able to send him to Ephesus and Crete. Notice that the Bible emphasizes the character of this man, not his personality. Many people are distracted by personality. It is the character that counts. Every parent should teach his or her children, both sons and daughters, and it's the character that counts. Personality may get you some votes, but it's character that wins friends. If you're rearing a young girl or a young boy, tell them to look for character as they think about getting married. Not money, not prestige, not family. Character. Their character. Two descriptions of the character of this first Christian history, century Christian hero. First, beloved brother. Next, faithful servant. Notice, people, especially parents, that the Bible emphasizes the character of this believer, not his personality, not how he looks. In fact, while we make a great deal of how someone looks, the Bible rarely describes the physical appearance of anyone. We got an idea of what David looked like. We got an idea of the pitiful condition Paul. Paul was apparently, as we could tell, short, thin, and had a very squeaky voice. And pitiful handwriting. See? God uses him. It's not their personality. It's not these things that we put so much influence on when we select a pastor or this person or that person. See? It's their character. Faithfulness is what we're going to look at now. It is the character that counts, not personality. It is all right if one has a nice personality, provided they have character. You want to have both. You young unmarried people, remember this. Look at his or her character. Not just physical appearance or personality. What about their character? Personality is a cover for what you really are inside. Personality is the costume that you put on to disguise the blemishes. Character is what the true soul essence is. When you marry someone, you marry their character. Good or bad, weak or strong, that's who you're married. Tychicus was a faithful servant. Oh, Pistos, Diakonos. This tells us so much about this believer. This is what we should see, and we'll all see to be said of us. This is what we should want to be said of us, a faithful servant. I could have that written on my tombstone and be perfectly happy. Faithful servant. Written on our tombstones. He was faithful servant of the Lord. The problem with this banner is that it covers a lifetime. Not just a segment of life. Through ups and downs in life. In the good times, in the bad times. Are you faithful? Faithfulness is a real problem in America today. Over half the people who marry cannot remain faithful in marriage. Marriages in America today are plagued with desertion, adultery, and divorce. Faithfulness is not honored. If we speak of the faithfulness to the Lord, will this last until the first real challenge comes along? Until the first bayonet is put next to your throat. And you have to decide whether you're a Christian or not. Today, with the strong advent of LGBTQ, the challenge comes quickly. And from where we least expected, There are so many fundamental doctrines of the Bible that are challenged today. Therefore, all these things make it more challenging to remain faithful. Are you going to remain faithful to the Word of God? Or is it just when you're with other Christians? Or are you with other Christians who agree with you? But when you're not, it doesn't matter. One, first and foremost, this is one of the most valued of essence of God. His own faithfulness. Now before we read Deuteronomy 7:9, I want you to think about this. There are a lot of people who teach replacement theology that the church is replacing Israel. People, let me tell you something. If God is not faithful to Israel in the unconditional covenants, why in the name of holiness should He be faithful to us in eternal life? What guarantee do you have that the moment you die, you're going to be face to face with the Lord, or all bets are off? When you and I come to the point of death, we rely on one thing, faithfulness of God. Take all our doctrine, everything else, when you are facing death, like Jim Langston, or somebody in a car wreck, or whatever, cancer, whatever, it's faithfulness of God. And I put my confidence, my hope, my assurance, my peace when I die. God will remain faithful. If He is not faithful to Israel, to the Jews, He does not have to be faithful to me. Just remember that. Now let's read Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation, that means infinitely, with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Know, let's look at this passage. Know, this is where the journey begins. This is where the battle begins. Knowing. This is why not many through the church history make it to be faithful servants. They do not want to spend time to know and grow in the Word of God. Paul says in Colossians, increasing the knowledge of God. 1 Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. All your life. I went up to the hospital. Thursday, Friday. Took my Bible. Said, Jim, let's just read the Bible today. Big smile over his face. Made me feel good. So I opened the Bible. Started reading. Now, Jim, got to close his eyes. Well, bless the devil, she thought he'd fallen asleep. So she comes around on the other side. She touched him. Are you awake? He said, yes, I'm awake. I'm listening. And I love that. And I just kept reading. And Friday, the same thing. Just hearing the Word of God. It's peaceful to him. Faithful to the end. That's the whole issue. To fulfill this verb requires knowing how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers our souls. Then under the power of the Holy Spirit, we learn under a pastor teacher who studies and teaches the Word of God. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God. First you have to know that the Lord is your God. Remember, He's not everyone's God. Now He's God, but He's not their personal God. The Muslims, He's not their God. Hindus, He's not their God. Buddhist, He's not their God. To an increasing number of Americans that are becoming atheists, He's not their God. Is He your God? Is He your God in your life? Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God. The Hebrew word for faithful basically means firm. It's just basic understanding. The word introduces that which supplies stability, confidence. Dear people, the more you know the faithfulness of God, the more you trust His faithfulness, the more stable you become and develop confidence in life. People, we want to be more like Christ. Christ is like God. Christ is stable. Christ is faithful in Himself. So therefore, when we take on His image, we become faithful. We become stable, firm, immovable. That's what we become. It's just, that's who I am. I am a little Christ Christian. I hope you know that's a derogatory term when it's first used. You're just a Christian. It means little Christ. It was meant as a derogatory term. You don't think for yourself. You have to follow Christ. Yes, that's right, I do. That's what I am. It's who I am. So, that's basically what this word means. I feel sorry for people who suffer from depression, especially if they're Christians. There's no reason for one who believes in Jesus Christ to suffer depression. And the greatest relief for depression is not chocolate cake or drugs, but it's to get into the Word of God and learn of the faithfulness of God. One of the fun things I did at camp, know the young people. You want to have a good life, a peaceful life? Learn to forgive. A lot of people suffer depression because of someone else. They cannot forgive. You've got to learn to forgive. You've got to forgive. Let go. They are not worth ruining one day in your life. But one of the reasons people suffer depression is because they harbor in their soul unforgiveness. Toward self, toward others, toward someone who's dead. You've got to learn to forgive somebody who's dead. You've got to learn to let it go. You were molested as a child, that adult is dead, you've got to forgive them and move on. Some of the greatest hardships in life, a failure to forgive as God has forgiven us in Christ. So this becomes so important. The greatest relief from depression is not a chocolate cake or drugs. It's get into the Word of God. Harbor it. Learn it. I also feel sorry for anyone who believes in replacement theology, that God is not faithful to Israel. It will not fulfill His unconditional covenants to the people of Israel. People, if God is not faithful to Israel, to His unconditional covenants to them, then God doesn't have to be faithful to me and to you and to us to save us when we die. Let's get to the bottom line, people. I think every one of us have different testimonies. I tell you right now, 7 years old, I believed in God because I didn't want to die without Him. I was 7 years old. All I can figure is I must have been really bad. Because, man, that was something. But believing Christ, peace. I've never worried about death. I know the second I die what's going to happen. How do I know that? He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to His Son. Christ died for me on the cross. He's faithful to His Word. He will save anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. He's faithful to me. Faithfulness of God is so important. That God will be faithful to His Son. That God will be faithful to His Word. And that He will surely deliver us when we die from this life and are face to face with His Son. Deuteronomy 7:9, therefore, that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, He is the God who keeps His covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Point two, Isaiah 49:7. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see and arise. Princes will also bow down. By the way, wait. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel has chosen you. And dear people, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior, He's chosen you. He's made a decision to choose anyone who believes in His Son. It's like a parent. It's like the mother and father get together. We choose to accept whomever our son and daughter marry as members of this family. Today, that, you might want to be careful. But I'm making the point here. You don't choose who will marry your son or daughter, but whomever they marry, you choose before you even know them, you choose to make them part of the family. That's what God has done. Whoever believes in my son, I don't care if it's Adolf Hitler. I don't care if it's a pedophile. I don't care if it's a wonderful person. If they believe in my son as their Savior, they're mine. I choose them. I call them. That's God.
So on that last verse, that was God in the description of Jesus Christ, or that was God telling the people what I'm going to do?
God telling the people what He's going to do. Point three. The faithfulness of God is vital to the church age believer. You and me. 1 Corinthians 1:8. Who will also confirm you to the end? Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. These two verses are packed with vital points for us to remember. He will confirm us. That is, He will establish the truth of our justification and imputed righteousness. To the end, for us, rapture, judgment seat of Christ. We owe everything to Jesus Christ, our Savior friend. We who were called, that is, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, were called by God, the Father, into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We will enjoy eternal fellowship with Christ, our Lord. That's why people, if you learn that in life, it's a little touch of heaven. You can have a touch of heaven in life. If you can drive through the richest part of Dallas, whatever you consider the richest part of Dallas, and see these beautiful homes with unbelievable beautiful fountains in their front yard, and not be jealous, not envious, not asking, why not me, Lord, all that, just enjoy it. That's a little touch of heaven. That's how you'll be able to be in heaven, and there's someone else who has a higher position than you do in heaven, more rewards than you do, it won't bother you at all. A lot of people preach against that. You ask, well, what about the Christians who don't get very much? It won't bother you. You can get just a little glimpse of heaven on earth if you understand walking in the Spirit, enjoying the Spirit of God. We'll enjoy eternal fellowship with Christ. If you can enjoy that on earth, just think what heaven's going to be like when He's actually sitting there with you. Or, in another passage, we have studied 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. Here's our salute, our confidence, our hope, our peace throughout life. Good times, bad times, failure, sin, success. It's our confidence, people. Our joy. And one of the most important passages on the faithfulness of God, 2 Timothy 2:13. If we're faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. That to me is one of the most precious passages in all the Bible. People believe, there are some who believe, the only way you can lose your salvation is to deny Jesus Christ. People, even that won't get you out. Even that won't undo the 34 things God did the moment you believed. This is one of the most important things. And I thought I told you before, but I'd love to say it. I'd love to tell somebody, well, I did believe in Jesus Christ and all that, but I don't believe that anymore. Don't believe I'm going to be with him all that. And I just smile and say, I got such bad news for you. You're going to spend eternity with him. Say, I'm sorry. Because he's faithful. He's faithful. Some Christians believe and teach that you can lose your salvation if you deny Jesus Christ. People, you may grow up and detest your parents and deny them as your parents, but I'm sorry to tell you, you cannot erase the truth that they gave you birth. You can't erase it. This woman gave you birth. This man put the seed in her. Sorry, that's it. You may hate them, detest them, deny them, want never to look at them, you don't want their name, you don't want anything. I'm sorry. She's still your mother. He's still your dad. That's the way it goes. And God is still your Savior. He saved you. He gave you 34 things. He doesn't undo them. And let me reverse that. I suppose there have been more mothers who regret giving birth than there have been children who regret their mother. There's nothing she can do about it. I've given birth to this thing. See? This Hitler's mine. This pedophile's mine. This murderer's mine. It's done. That's why some of the analogies in the scriptures are so powerful. Born of God, second birth. Born again. Born from above. Born. He can't undo it, people. He's not going to deny his own self. He saved us. We are in union with him. And he simply did not deny himself. See, when you and I believe in Christ, we're put into union with Christ. So you become part of Christ. He can't deny himself. He can't say, hand, you're not mine. Finger, you're not mine. Oh, you're not mine. He can't deny himself. We're in. You're in. Locked in. And for most of us, amen. Because I couldn't stand on my own. I have to be held there by him. Six. People, his faithfulness is so important in our daily lives. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with temptation will provide the way of escape also. So that you will be able to endure it. Now before we look at the passage, I want to bring this to reality. Some of you may be thinking, just me saying, kind of hit you. What would I do if they had a gun right in my head? Are you a Christian? Some of you may, in the secrets of your own mind, may have not wanted anybody else to know, but you've wondered, I wonder what I would do. Would I say I'm a Christian? If they were going to throw me alligators. If they were going to throw me into a pit full of roaches, would I say I'm a Christian? Let me give you assurance. No matter what tests come your way, God will provide for you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you would do at the point of a gun. At that moment, you will know what to do. At that moment, he'll give you the strength, the courage, and the wisdom of what to do. Don't waste your time feeling sorry for yourself. Well, I probably would deny. I know I'm a coward. I know I don't like pain. I don't even like to go to the dentist. So, why would I do that? He will provide for you. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Please pay close attention to this verse. Many are overtaken by temptation and then cry out and try to blame God. People, He has not promised you will not fail and to fall into temptation. What this says is that God is faithful. He will provide the way of escape. If you will trust Him, trust His Spirit, He will provide the way of escape. Point 7. And of course, the faithfulness of God and the forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1:9. Verse 9 must always be understood in context with verse 8, where they were in denial. This verse is directed to all believers who deny their sins. If you are aware of your sins, you go to faith in the Holy Spirit, this verse is not for you. 1:9, if we confess, acknowledge our sins. Verse 8, denial. But what this wonderful pastor is saying is, if you acknowledge your sins, God is faithful and righteous. Now, the way it's translated, to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not what the Greek says. If, maybe a believer will, maybe he will not, we confess, acknowledge our sins. He, God, is faithful. This is a predicate adjective. And righteous, to forgive. Aorist subjunctive, referring to something God has already done in the past. Us, our sins, and to cleanse. Aorist subjunctive, referring to something already completed. He's already forgiven. He's already cleansed. See? Us from all unrighteousness. In other words, John is telling these believers to stop denying they sinned. They denied they sinned because they were told that if they sinned, they lose their salvation. John, the beloved pastor, assures them they will not lose their salvation. They have already been forgiven at the cross the moment they believed in Christ, Acts 10:39, and cleansed at the point of justification to claim what is theirs by faith. God is faithful in keeping all His promises. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Faithfulness of God should encourage us to be faithful to Him. Number 3, Jesus Christ is declared faithful. He is faithful high priest. Hebrews 10:17, therefore He, Jesus Christ, in His incarnation, had to be made in the likeness of His brethren, the human race, in all things, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He is faithful to the Father and our Father. Hebrews 3:2, Jesus Christ was faithful to Him, God the Father, who appointed Him, as Moses also was in all His house. 3, He's a faithful Son. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ was faithful as a Son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Let me explain something that some of you may be wondering about that word, but if you're not, people, it's one thing to be loved. It's another thing to be benefited by the love. Every person in the lake of fire for all eternity are loved by God. They're not benefited by that love. Many are the men who have never been benefited by the love of their wife because they don't want to be. They don't know how to be. Many are the women who are not benefited by the love of their husband. Many are the children who are not benefited by the love of their parents. They don't choose to be. They choose to rebel against it. It's one thing to be loved. It's another thing to be benefited. Now, let's go to point four. He is a faithful creator. Our faithfulness in life is a response to His faithfulness. 1 Peter 4:19, therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to the faithful Creator in doing what is right. He is a faithful witness. We can trust anything and everything He says. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood. 6. He is referred to as the Holy One who is faithful in Hosea 11:12. 7. We are known, we all know that Satan is alive and well in the world today, but if you remain faithful to the Lord, He will be faithful and protect you from Satan. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. That's Satan. But people, if you're not, He's not going to protect you. Now, Satan can't indwell you, but boy, he can play havoc with you. You want to be protected from him, walk with the Lord. John 17:15, the Lord's Prayer. I do not ask, Jesus Christ talking to the Father, I do not ask that you take them out of this world, that's us believers, but to keep them from the evil one. No believer can be indwelt by Satan or his demons. Roman 3, the Word of God is faithful. It should be Roman 4. The Word of God is faithful. You can believe it and trust it. Revelation 21:5. And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And He said, Write these words, are faithful and true. Also Revelation 22:6, Titus 1:9. Psalm 119:20. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. Psalm 119:31. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. See also verse 65 in that reading. Roman 5. One of the historical reasons for national calamity is that there are no faithful believers.
Wait a second here. So does that get to the pivot aspect? Is what you're going into now is theme defined it? The pivot. Are you now saying that scripturally there is some underpinning for an understanding of a pivot of believers in a nation?
Yes.
Okay.
They can carry it, or they can not carry it. Psalm 12:1. Help, O Lord. The godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. Psalm 78:7. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. Psalm 78:37. For their heart was not steadfast toward Him, nor were they faithful in His covenant. And Wednesday nights we're studying Ezekiel. Ezekiel is sent to a people, stubborn, rebellious, hard-headed, hard-hearted, do not want the Lord God, do not want you. They will not even. What's beautiful here is God tells Ezekiel, I'm sending you to teach people and they won't even listen to you. I think God would have said, well, you know what? Let's just forget it. I'll just go sit down somewhere and enjoy a mint julep or something. I've forgot this. Can't do this. No. It's faithfulness of God. Even though they won't listen, they will not be without excuse. They were told, you're a watchman on the wall. So that's the whole point that we have here. And put it in six, the Lord blesses the faithful believer. Okay? Psalm 20:31-23. O love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompense the proud doer. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. All you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 101:6. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. And people, that's every one of you. You remain faithful. That's what he's looking for. Who's going to remain faithful? Finally, very important for every believer to realize, is that God looks upon those who are faithful in small things to be rewarded with much bigger blessings. See also Matthew 25:21-23. People, it's not about life here. This is a limited time. Jim Lakeson's lived a full great life. Jim Passmore's lived a long time. But you know what? Eternity is forever. There's no growing old. Not growing old at all. Same forever and ever. Faithful, strong, blessed. Store blessings in heaven. Store blessings in heaven. Not here on earth. Store them up in heaven. Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in a very little pay is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the rich, true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? And finally, there are a few believers throughout history who are declared in the Word of God as faithful. This is not all the great believers of the Bible. This is a list of those who the Bible says are faithful. Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel, Hananiah, Timothy, the assembly in Ephesus, Tychicus, some of the believers in Colossae, Epaphras. Next we're going to study Onesimus. He's a slave. The Apostle Paul. Women who wish to serve are to be faithful to the Lord. Pastor teachers are to be faithful to the Word of God. Would you like to have your name on this list? God's making the list of those who are faithful. Don't worry about Santa Claus making a list, checking it twice. Think about the Lord making a list. He's checking it for eternity. We'll resume here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Father, we pray you'll count us faithful. We have some very young people in this congregation this morning. And some older ones. You look at all of us, each day, checking our faithfulness. Not just on Sunday, not just with money, but in every area of our life. What a joy it would be at the judgment seat of Christ. We stand before Christ and look him out of the eye. And he says, well done, faithful servant. I pray this will be said to everyone of Spring Valley Bible Church when we stand before Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory.